Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the audio lesson on nutrition. One of the three keys to nurturing your body. So go ahead and grab your outline and we'll go ahead and get started. So I want to start off with a few just key little things on using nutrition to nurture your body before we completely dive in. And one is that we have really learned how to nurture our bodies or not by what we saw or heard growing up, what was modeled for us by our parents, the media, in school, fill in the blank, right? So our current blueprint for nurturing ourselves actually was created back when we were children and has been carried forward into what we've learned until, you know, up till this point. So hopefully in listening to this nutrition class, and by the way, I want to just put out there, I am not a nutritional therapist or a dietitian. I am strictly speaking from my own very in-depth experience, right, with nutrition. And what I have learned, I have worked with a nutritional therapist for many, many years. I have struggled with weight and eating disorders and chronic illness. So I've done a lot of research. I've experienced and experimented with a lot of things. And so what I'm sharing with you today is what I have found to work for me, what has been true, and what has benefited my body in nurturing it with nutrition. So I just want to make sure that I put that out there. So as always, I recommend that you listen to everything that I give you today, and then you're always going to come back to yourself, your body, and check in with what is true for you. You are your own guru, right? G-U-R-U. So one of the things that I've been training or teaching you guys to do is to come back and check in with yourself, trust your body, trust your inner body's innate wisdom and guidance as to what your body needs, because the truth is all of our bodies are different. So back to where we learned all the stuff that we've learned. So I just want to give you a funny little kind of caption, a glimpse, whatever you want to call it, into what I learned about nutrition growing up. So in my household, my dad was the cook, not my mom. And when my dad wasn't around, and even sometimes when he was, you know, hamburger helper and tuna helper was a staple in my house. So processed, I love sharing that. So processed foods. I also remember eating pretty often macaroni and cheese, Kraft macaroni and cheese with hot dogs in it. By the way, I loved it as a kid. Now, was that the healthiest thing for my body? You know, my parents did the best that they could. And my grandparents even owned a farm, right? So, whole foods. And yet, my family didn't fully do that. So, it's not only, you know, remember our parents had their own conditioning. And when they were brought up and when they were, you know, when they grew up, it's like, okay, now both of my parents worked factory workers, 8 hours a day and long hours. And they were tired when they got home. And I grew up in the age where, you know, it was pretty cool and new to eat, to have like processed foods and boxed foods to make things quote unquote easy. So I in no way, shape or form am making anybody wrong here. Not blaming, just simply awareness as to where this came from, where these eating patterns and habits came from. Now, I also saw my mom, you know, pretty much obsessed with her weight and on quote unquote diets. So I come from a belief that we do not want to diet. I do not believe in diets. And believe me, I've tried a lot of diets, you guys. Atkins, low carb, no carb, low fat, no fat. I don't even remember all the names of the diets I tried. but I don't believe in diets anymore. I believe in eating healthy and moderately as a way of life. So what I'm here to teach you today is that philosophy and everything that kind of goes along with it. So I don't believe in extreme or over the top, restrictive, like diets, at least not for the long term. Sometimes I do recommend and even go on simple cleanses for myself, but not as a way of life. I don't believe in restricting. And one of the books I highly recommend is by Janine Roth. And of course, I'm looking for it right now and I can't find it. I think it's called Women, Food, and God. And so that is a book that I highly recommend you read. That really goes into this like restrictive dieting, emotional eating. Like it goes with everything I teach. And I highly recommend it for you guys. And it, I'll have the link up for you as well. So I don't believe in extreme. I don't believe in restricting. I believe in moderation. So there you have it. Cool. So I'm going to move into, I'm actually splitting this into a couple different pieces here. Nutrition looks at food, supplements, and liquid, as well as then I'm going to offer some just general tips. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive in. So food. I tend to eat mainly protein, lean protein, meat, and eggs. So I'm talking about chicken, turkey, lean beef, venison, and eggs. So animal protein. Now, there are going to be people listening to this that are vegetarians, and my body does not like that. So I can't speak to that. I can't tell you not to do that. I just know my body, and my body needs animal protein every day, at least twice a day usually. I can get away with once a day, and I was recently on a trip in Peru where I actually went days without quote-unquote meat. I did have eggs, but my body in general really likes animal protein. So protein, veggies, and for my body, again, raw veggies, my body doesn't really like, and it's because my digestion has been compromised over the years from being on a lot of antibiotics, having salmonella. So veggies for me are steamed, baked, sauteed. I can mix in a few raw veggies and salads once in a while if I'm eating some other warm food. But in general, if you have problems with digestion, raw vegetables are typically going to be very hard for your body to digest. Okay. We also have healthy grains. Now, what I consider to be healthy grains are the following. Quinoa, which is has a lot of protein. Sprouted bread or wraps. It's supposed to be a little bit better for your digestion to eat sprouted. Rice pasta. I typically don't eat any wheat or gluten, and I'll get into that in a little bit. I have a little bit of it, but not a lot. And I wasn't diagnosed as celiac, but I know my body is sensitive to it. And I know that because of bloating and gas and just not feeling good after I eat it, large quantities. So I typically eat also sweet potatoes, yams, and red potatoes. So those are what I consider to be healthy grains in my body. Okay, and they do make a bunch of gluten-free products, and you want to be careful of those. Make sure there's not too much sugar in them. I also eat a small amount of fruit. I eat very limited dairy. I eat a little bit of yogurt or some half and half in my coffee, and I'll get into why that is in a little bit. So in a nutshell, that is what my healthy, what I would call eating plan is. On a daily basis. So where is the you know, the things to kind of, that I know need to stay away from are inflammatory foods. So foods that cause inflammation in the body. And I'm going to give you the four biggies, but there's also a few others. But I'm going to give you the four biggies first. Okay. And then, of course, there's a bunch of us that have different, you know, other different specific allergies. But I'm going to give you kind of the basic. Most bodies have trouble with, especially if you have disease, weight, illness, pain. Dairy is something that you want to have more limited amounts of. Like I said, I eat a little bit of yogurt. I eat a little bit of half and half in my coffee. And what I do to replace quote unquote dairy is I drink coconut milk and or almond or rice milk. Coconut milk, you guys, is really like supposed to be really good for you. And I've experienced that in my body, that it is, you know, feels really good for my body. My body does well with it. They have also ice cream that is coconut, rice, or I don't know if they have almond ice cream, but they do have coconut and rice milk ice cream. People are going to say, well, how about soy? Soy is one of the number two inflammatory foods. So dairy, soy. Want to try to stay away from soy. I know that some of you that are vegetarians or just in general that you've been using a lot of soy. The problem with soy is the body doesn't know how to process it. Remember, soy is processed. And anything that is quote unquote processed too much, the body doesn't know what to do with it. And when the body can't handle it or doesn't know what to do with it, guess what happens? It causes inflammation and it can even cause excess weight on the body. The body will store it because it doesn't know what to do with it. So edamame, on the other hand, is not processed. A little bit of that is fine, but really try to steer clear of soy products. For most of us, our bodies are allergic to soy. Number three, wheat. Wheat, hence gluten, right? Wheat and gluten. So a lot of bodies have an allergy to this, whether it's diagnosed, you know, in your doctor's office with numbers or not. Like I said, how do you know your body doesn't do really great with it? What are your symptoms? Right? So check it out. You don't have to be extreme with it unless maybe you do have celiacs, and even that, you know, I help people with that as well. So I recommend not getting too extreme. You know, let yourself have a little bit of it. Don't get over the top with it because that causes stress too. But I try to limit wheat and gluten. I'll eat some of it once in a while, but not tons of it. Try to go to the other options that I mentioned before. And then, of course, there is sugar. Sugar comes in a lot of things, and it's hidden in a lot of things. Watch your sugar. Not just things that are obvious, like bread and cookies and cake and ice cream, but you want to look at also dressings and condiments. Sauces can have a lot of sugar. So you want to watch that as well. Alcohol has a lot of sugar. We'll talk about that a little bit later in liquids. Cool. So those are kind of the four biggies that you really need to watch for that cause inflammation in the body, or for most of our bodies, especially if you are already dealing with chronic illness, pain, or excess weight. Headaches fall in there as well. So a few other ones that your body may have some allergy or sensitivity to are peanuts. Peanuts tend to have a lot of mold too, even if it's organic peanut butter. I highly recommend instead to use almond butter, unless you know you're allergic to almonds. So check it out. Nightshade vegetables. My body has a problem with some of the nightshade vegetables. Peppers, tomatoes, oh my God, eggplant for sure, and potatoes, like regular potatoes. Not sweet potatoes, not yams, but regular potatoes. Red potatoes tend to be a little bit better for me. Soy. So if I eat too much, like soy sauce. We already mentioned soy, but I'm talking about like soy sauce and MSG. Some of our bodies are really sensitive to that. So be careful or be on the lookout for that. And then some of us have trouble digesting beans, and not all beans. Like my body does okay with pinto or kidney, but not black beans. Okay? So the way that you know that is by really listening to and looking for symptoms that your body has when it eats certain foods. Okay? Cool. And of course, I always recommend working with a nutritional therapist to go even more in depth, more so than a dietitian. And I do have a recommendation for you that I'll give you at the end here. Cool. So I also really try to have more natural or whole foods in my diet versus low fat, no fat, or processed. So we went through a phase of, as I said before, of processed food and how that was so great and it made things quicker and easier for the working mother or family. And what happens with processed foods is our bodies don't know what to do with it. So it can get stored as extra fat on our body if our body doesn't know how to process all the crap that's in it, right? So the more you can move away from processed foods, packaged foods, the better off you will be. You know, sometimes I still buy it, the stuff, but rarely. Rarely. I instead tend to grill, bake, or saute, broil meat, and saute, bake, or steam veggies, and then have a quote-unquote healthy grain on the side. Okay, so I know some of you might be like, oh, it's boring, but it's not. We can still dress it up with sauces, seasonings, and spices. And I'm actually going to be providing you guys a handout, a mini little PDF on some ideas for meals. So you will get that as well. You can be looking for that. So anyways, processed foods. As much as you can, try to eat whole foods versus processed. And move away from also low fat, no fat. Again, what happens with low fat, no fat is they increase the sugar. Fat doesn't make you fat. Actually, sugar does, you guys. Seriously. We need good fat. So don't worry about that. That's a belief, right? That, you know, if I eat fat, I'm going to get fat. Not so. Healthy fat is good. Whole natural foods are good. So if we can move away from the low fat, no fat dressings, sauces, and all that other stuff, you know what I'm talking about. Because again, they put stuff in there that your body doesn't know what to do with it, and a lot of sugar to replace the fat. And I'm going to be giving you guys some menu ideas, as I said, on that PDF. There's also a cookbook that I recommend called Practical Paleo. And I'm going to be giving you the link for that as well. I'm not saying that I eat a strictly paleo diet, but I do lean towards paleo. And I get some really good recipes out of there. And so that's something that you can use as a resource. So that is my lowdown on food, some of the basics. So I'm going to move into liquid next. Water. Water is super important, you guys. It helps release so many toxins from the body, helps the body heal. Most of us are dehydrated. So people ask, well, how much water should I drink, Tanya? Half of your body weight in ounces is the recommendation. Okay, so if I weigh 130 pounds, half of that is 35. I'm sorry, not doing math today, 65. So I would drink 65 ounces or so of water a day. I tend to get it in before 7 p.m. at night, so I'm not running to the bathroom all the time. Hence going back to rest and sleep. So I get a water bottle that says, you know, my water bottle is 32 ounces. I know that I need to drink about two of those a day. I shoot for one full bottle before noon and another one before five. And then I might drink a little bit, you know, a little bit more before seven or so, because we want to drink most of our liquids before 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. So we can also add some of our doTERRA oils to our water. So Digest Zen, Slim and Sassy, and there are several others that we can add to. On the bottle it says what you can add and how much. But those can only be added to glass. You can only add those to water served in glass bottles or glasses, not in plastic, because it'll eat it away and then we got a whole other problem. So just wanted to throw that in there, that we can always add some of the doTERRA oils to our water to help us out. If you drink soda, I'm not going to get on your case about it. What I recommend is don't drink diet soda. Again, processed and more bad stuff in it. So if you're going to drink soda, drink regular. But overall, really try to limit your soda. Cut down on it. See if you can replace it with water. And water, you can add fresh lemon to it, lime, oranges. Really want to move away from artificial sweeteners and soda in general because of all the sugar. So, but you can look for other alternatives. They even have some other waters now that are flavored and don't have a lot of other crap in it. And none are coming to mind because I don't really, Fresca maybe. Don't drink a lot of that stuff. But if you don't like just plain water, you guys, put some of the oils in it. There's lemon oil, fresh lemon. You can use lime, oranges. Some people have put strawberries and raspberries in their water. Get creative. But let's move away from the soda, especially the diet soda, more and more. Wean yourself away from it. Now, I'm not saying I never have a soda. I might have a soda maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And, you know, not a big deal. But I know some of you have it every day, and that's what we want to move away from. All right, alcohol. Again, everything in moderation. I'm not saying don't drink alcohol at all. I'm saying let's look at it and what your body wants and needs. Now, my body doesn't like beer. I get bloaty and gassy with beer, I think because of the gluten, wheat stuff. They do have gluten-free beer now. Awesome. But what I find my body does better with is wine, and specifically white wine versus red wine. My body can also be okay with some hard alcohol, but you got to be careful of the juices and or soda added to that. And tonic has a lot of sugar in it. So like those of you who like gin and tonics, beware. Now, soda water doesn't have sugar in it. So I tend to do that with, again, some fresh lemon or lime. So again, ask your body which alcohol it prefers, if it's going to have alcohol, and what is a moderate, you know, okay amount for your body to have. Be aware if you're using it to escape versus enjoying a cocktail here or there, right? So a lot of you know, I used to have problems with alcohol and can sometimes slip back into that pattern if my stress gets too high and I fall back into using it. So just be aware of your, you know, not just emotional eating, but emotional drinking. All right, coffee. I have a cup of espresso. I make my own. I have my own espresso machine. I have a cup every morning. Again, moderation. My body is okay with that right now. Some of you are going to do better with tea. So again, check in with your body. If you have coffee, it was recommended by my nutritional therapist to put half and half in it, organic half and half, versus milk or having it black. It's supposed to be better for your blood sugar. So again, remember, fat doesn't make you fat. Sugar does. And we want to kind of be careful with acidity in our systems. And so the half and half, organic half and half, if you can, actually does well for your body. And don't be drinking like mega coffee all day long. Like I said, I have a cup in the morning once in a great while. I have another small one in the afternoon. And this is an interesting fact that I didn't know, but that a shot of espresso, an 8-ounce cup of coffee has more caffeine than a shot of espresso. I think like 3 times more, something like, it was crazy. You can look it up if you want to, but I was really surprised that espresso has less than an 8-ounce cup of coffee. So, that is liquids. And again, juices, And sodas, you know, people say, oh, juice is better than soda. Juice has a ton of sugar. So if you can really focus on water, add some flavoring to it, and limit your coffee, juice, soda, and alcohol as well. Moderation. Everybody's body's different. Learn to tap in, tune in, and ask your body what it wants and needs. Cool. I'm going to move into supplements. And I'm just going to give you kind of a few of my basic supplements that I take every day. So oil, you guys, good oil and fat is essential, especially for women. It helps with our hormones, our blood sugar. So here are some good oils I recommend. I recommend coconut oil, eating a tablespoon a day. I recommend almond butter. I recommend regular butter. None of that fake butter shit going on here. Okay. Avocados are good fat oil. Fish oil. I take Nordic Naturals fish oil. I take one with each meal. Again, to find your specific amounts that are good for you, you might want to work with a nutritional therapist, not a dietitian. I'm talking about somebody who does muscle testing or more of the alternative, really asking your body until you get good at doing it. They'll give you some guidance. I worked with a nutritional therapist for almost 5 years. So that's where a lot of my information comes from. So a fish oil pill at each meal is what I do. And I also eat either an avocado every day or a tablespoon of coconut oil. Cool. Those are oils and good fats. Probiotics. A lot of us have been on antibiotics in the past and or we have problems with digestion. Probiotics, a good probiotic can help you with that. I take a probiotic at bedtime every night. Helps with gas, bloating. It helps heal my digestion. Can help with your weight. Leaky gut. Helps with parasites. Unknown food allergies. So I take a probiotic called PB8. P as in Paul, B as in boy, 8. There are so many out there, you guys. Again, everybody's body's different. But you could work with a nutritional therapist to help you find which one would be the best for your body. If you do muscle testing, you can do that on yourself in the store by holding the bottle and muscle testing. I'm not going to get into muscle testing today. You can Google it. I'll find a good link for you, perhaps. Google it online, muscle testing. But you can learn to find what your body really wants and needs. Everybody's body is different. Digestive enzymes are important for those of us who have GI problems, again, gas, bloating, leaky gut, all those things. So I take digestive enzymes. I take Digest Gold to help digest carbohydrates in my body. I take HCL, hydrochloric acid, to help digest proteins. Those are the main two that I use. And again, there's lots of different kinds. There's even one for fat. I think it's called lipase for those who have trouble digesting fat, which I used to. So I used to take a digestive enzyme for that. So digestive enzymes to help you process carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Check them out. They're in pretty much any natural food store. And another one that I make sure I have every day is fiber. And whether you have constipation, diarrhea, or whatever in between, fiber is essential in my diet. And I tend to lean towards taking flax meal, ground flax meal. Bob's Red Mill, I think it's called, is a good one. Sometimes I do organic, sometimes I don't. I also have a fiber supplement that is called, I don't remember what it's called, but there's another fiber supplement that I have. There's tons of fiber supplements. Again, what your body needs is going to be different maybe from what my body needs. So again, working with a nutritional therapist might be a good idea. But in general, fiber. Cool. Those are some basic supplements I recommend for almost everybody. I'm going to go through now just a few other tips on nutrition that I have found to be really helpful for me and my clients. Again, moderation versus restriction. Never tell yourself that something is off limits unless it's like life or death, like maybe celiacs. Again, I think there's even a way to heal that, you guys. But in the meantime, you may need to restrict a little bit around that, but you really want to look at moderation. I try to go by the 80-20 rule. 80% of what is quote unquote really healthy, what I know my body wants and needs, and 20% of the other stuff. So, you know, I know my body doesn't really need or want or thrive on chocolate cake, but I'm going to have a piece of chocolate cake every now and then. I'm going to have a piece of dark chocolate pretty much every night. So 80-20 rule. I think when we tell ourselves that we can't have something, what ends up happening is we restrict and then we binge. I don't recommend it. So letting yourself have small treats. And I know some of you say, well, I don't trust myself to do that. Well, this is what we're working on here, is trusting ourselves and healing our emotional eating, drinking habits, right? So we're working on that a lot in this program. I do recommend eating 3 meals a day. Again, I had a client who said, well, I'm afraid once I start eating, I won't stop. Again, we are learning to trust ourselves here. 3 meals a day, 3 to 4 hours apart, and or some snacks in between. We need our blood sugar to be regulated, you guys. My body needs something to eat every 4 hours or so. So otherwise it goes into this, like, I get cranky. Like my boyfriend says, like, oh my God, she acts like a dragon. I get nasty. And then I end up binging if I don't on whatever's around. So 3 meals a day, eat breakfast no matter what. Even if it's a piece of gluten-free bread with almond butter. Carb, protein together, right? Gotta have something. It really helps our metabolism. If we starve our bodies, guess what? Metabolism goes down. Cool. Okay. One plate rule I kind of go by. I don't go back for leftovers, rarely. I usually have a plate, use a smaller plate. They make some pretty big plates now. Or if you have a bigger plate, keep your servings to the inside. So most of us in America eat a lot more than what we really need, than what our body needs. If you slow down and eat as well, like really slow down and breathe. Some people say do the 5 to 10 chewing rule. Like chew your food 5 to 10 times. The slower we eat, the more it will register when we're full. We don't have to finish everything on our plate. Okay? Americans tend to overeat. Okay. Oh, this goes with this. It's okay to be a little hungry and not completely stuffed like you want to throw up. Okay? Just saying. Eliminate eating while cooking. I know there's like this gotta taste it type of thing. One taste. But really eliminate eating while cooking. You're taking in extra food and you don't know how much, right? It's like unconscious eating. We want to get really conscious when we're eating. Slow down, chew. Cool. I recommend eating meals out only 1 to 3 times a week. There are a lot of us that eat out a lot more than that. The reason I'm saying that is because we tend to go eat out at places where we're not making healthy choices. So if you eat out a lot, try to eat out less, 1 to 3 times a week. No calorie counting is one of my rules. I really believe in trusting our body to know how much food it needs. Calorie counting, in my experience, increases stress around and anxiety around food. Stress and anxiety, we know, only causes our metabolism to get messed up and our cortisol levels to get messed up, and I think it's too obsessive. I don't recommend calorie counting. I recommend listening to your body, slowing down, getting really conscious, and eating whole foods, moderation. I know some of you are going to have a problem with that, and it comes back to trusting yourself and your body, you guys, really. Trusting yourself and listening to your body. Slow down, be present, close your eyes and ask your body what it wants and needs. So when I'm going to have dinner at night, I always have several choices in my house. And I'll ask my body, body, do you want beef or chicken tonight? And it'll say, like, really, I get a beef or I get a chicken. I get a voice that says, some of you might get a picture or an image. So we're all going to get our information or our guidance a little bit different. So I want you to start practicing that every meal. What do you want? Body, do you want yogurt and granola this morning or do you want eggs? My body will answer. And then trusting it. Okay? Same thing with body. Do you want beer or wine? Do you do better with beer or wine? Just throwing that out there as something that I want you to start practicing. Your body will tell you when it's full if you slow down and are present as well. All right. So you also want to be aware of negative self-talk, your self-talk when you're eating. If you are having a piece of cake or a treat and you are telling yourself, I'm so bad, I shouldn't be eating this, guess what? Your body is going to process that accordingly. You can actually, research shows in our chemistry, right? And if you didn't see the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? I highly recommend it. What the Bleep Do We Know? I will put the link for that as well. So it shows that our body is made up primarily of water and that water is affected by our thoughts. So when you are eating something that is quote unquote bad, stop telling yourself it's bad. Tell yourself, body, I know you're digesting this perfectly. It's okay to have treats. Seriously, be aware of how you're talking to your body and about, you know, and what you're putting in your mouth. Watch the negative self-talk. Watch the stress while you're eating, you guys. Do not eat when you're stressed. Don't eat when you're arguing. Right? I highly recommend also that you take 10 breaths before you start eating. Close your eyes. Don't eat while you're driving. Don't eat while you're on the computer. Please be conscious. Take 10 breaths. That's in and out. Right before you eat each meal. I swear to God, it will help you. It will help you be more present. It'll help be less stressed. So yeah, don't eat when you're stressed out or when you're arguing or doing something stressful. Conscious eating. Remember, progress, not perfection, when you're making these changes in your healthy eating. Start small. Don't expect to do it perfectly. Start with small changes. An attitude of adding versus taking away. I'm going to add more vegetables. I'm going to add more protein. I'm going to add more good things, water, versus I'm going to take away this. I'm going to take away that. So adding good things, healthy things, versus taking away bad things attitude can really help you with this shift. Being firm but gentle with your awareness of eating and or drinking. Again, beating up on ourselves never helps. Compassion and curiosity are key. Cool, you guys. I know that I've just given you a lot of information. So I want you to take a few moments and actually write down maybe 3 to 5 simple, small changes you can make in the next week to your eating. Perhaps it's, I'm going to drink X amount of water a day, given the water stuff that I told you. Perhaps it's going to add 1 serving of vegetables every day. I aim to eat vegetables at least 2 meals a day. I often even put them in breakfast, but typically in breakfast I do eggs with veggies or fruit, yogurt, and granola, or a smoothie as well, and fruit in my smoothie and sometimes veggies. And then I aim to have a veggie at lunch and dinner. So addition versus taking away. Letting yourself try a new grain, a healthy grain this week. Maybe you're going to start adding in some healthy grains, thereby removing some of the wheat or the gluten stuff. Maybe you're going to switch from regular milk to coconut milk this week. Try half and half in your coffee versus having it black. Look for 3 to 5 small changes you can make this week. Once those become habit, you can add another 1 to 2 small changes every week. So this is to be done over time, not in like a demolition style. Okay, so we know that if we try to make too big a changes at once, things fall apart. We fall apart. We fall back into old habits and then we quote unquote fail and that doesn't work. So awesome. If you need any more support in this, feel free if you're in our group to get questions in the Facebook group. If you're doing one-on-one coaching with me, we can go into this in a lot more depth in our sessions. Awesome, you guys. So also, you can go ahead and use the Life Balance Blueprint to help you with this, to keep track of what your intentions and inspired action steps for the week are around nutrition, also rest, including sleep, napping, and other, and movement. So thanks for joining me today. I'm Tanya Penny, your healing catalyst and freedom coach. And remember, be firm but gentle. And if you need more support, you can email me at tanya@tanyapenny.com. Thanks.